One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
It's Sophia with an F, Franklin with the Y, and if you're looking for some bubblegum dum-dum podcast, then you are in the wrong place, baby. Whether I'm reminiscing on the trials and tribulations of working in the corporate world to recapping today's latest reality TV show, you're going to want to pull up a chair and stick around. It's a good time and always 100% unfiltered. Follow and listen to Sophia with an F wherever you get your podcasts.
Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly. This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP. The crowd was singing high.
Yo, it is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. Fritzy, season back on, buddy. Six straight, 13-5 in August. Highest OBP in the sport. All Bryce Harper does is get on base. All you had to do was put someone behind him. What a crazy thought that was this whole time. Fritzy, it doesn't suck today. How about it? What a thought. What a crazy thought.
You know what's so funny? It's baseball.
I mean, it really is.
What a sport. It's so long. You feel like you're going through three different seasons in one.
I know. It feels longer than it used to. I feel like we used to be more chill about it. And now I feel like we have like eight blow-ups a season and we end up right kind of where we started.
And everyone's so definitive one way or the other.
Can't win the World Series, Jack. Did you know that? I've heard 10,000 times on WIP that they literally don't. It's a 0% chance. So that's good to know.
0% chance, but also, you know, they can do it. Like it's no matter.
They can. What are we talking about here? Of course.
Obviously the old adage is, and the meme on Twitter is the cocky distraught meter. And I don't think that there is a team that more resembles that nature and a fan base that resembles that nature than the modern day Phillies fan. And I would say that we are amplifiers of that, James. I think that we are.
I would say that's fair. Yeah. We play into that.
While we, I believe, talk about the team in a more positive and I believe smart way, we also can get wrapped up in the downtimes, and the downtimes suck. And it was 1 week ago, legitimately 1 week ago, where I said they were cooked, they were done, they're not coming back from this, they're running out of gas, this era's over. And a week later, it is, I don't know, to have a plan at the plate, Phils, might be a problem.
All it took, one meeting. Who'd have thunk it? Just tell the guys to have a plan, and they're like, oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Wait, we're last in the league in OBP? You mean dead last? That's bad. We should probably do better at that. We're going to be better. Let's be the best in the league at it. Like, what? Why? What is going on 5 years into this thing, Jack?
So, a couple thoughts. One, where is that meeting in May?
That's
in
April, what I'm saying, dude. That's March, what I'm saying. This is February. Years ago. Exactly.
Yes, years ago. Good thing. Also, maybe let's have a couple more meetings. Like, hey. Yeah,
right. It seems like the meetings work for these guys.
Ground balls to the shortstop or to the right of the shortstop. Don't go to third base. Don't do it. Don't go to third. Bryce, hey, ball in the outfield. Stay put. So maybe a little base running class. That'd be also a nice little thing to work into the mix a little bit. You know, LA, our good friend Larry Anderson, has brought up this concept a lot. Feels like this year more than most, but he thinks, and I am beginning to agree with him, that because I think our listeners very pro analytics, pro, you know, what they can bring to a team, and really I like the acquisition nature of it, like looking at the under the radar things as to why they should go get this guy. Like, I think that stuff's all good. I just don't understand why it can't be analytics good, but play the game the right way. Good.
Of course. Yeah.
And LA is throwing out the idea that there needs to be a baseball 101 class all throughout the minor leagues and in spring training, just reteaching the game at a very basic level. I think that there can be a beautiful marriage of the things that matter now and the things that have mattered for 150 years with baseball, that you can have a nice little mix of it all. So, yes, the have a plan at the plate fills are a problem. The meetings continue to work, and they've ripped off six straight. And I mean, they swept the Twins. The Twins just swept the Braves. So that makes me feel a little bit better about, you know, that series up there. And that Marlins team, dude, I'm really impressed by them. I'm really impressed by that team. I think that they're going to be with Peter Bendix or whatever as their president of baseball ops. They're frisky. They got the contact guys at the top and Edwards and Otto Lopez. And then they got some hackers.
Another Conine there hacking for the Marlins. It's like, take me back. Why don't you?
I know. So I'm really impressed with that series or that sweep against the Marlins. I think they're a frisky team. I thought that they were going to come back and win every single night, and the Phillies took care of business, and that was good to see.
Yeah, I totally agree. And look, I you know, a lot of people bring up the numbers against better teams, and that's all there and all true. I'm not going to say that because they swept the Marlins and the Twins, everything's fine. But to your point, I think the Marlins and Twins are both competitive franchises, particularly the Marlins right now are a competitive team that are still fighting for a playoff spot, have something to play for, and the Phillies handle business. So I do think it's a good thing to see. And, you know, obviously we need to see they've got a tough stretch coming up. I mean, we know that we've talked about that series at the beginning of September in Arizona, but the real key, I mean, Jack, we wake up this morning, they're only 4.5 games back in division somehow. They're two up on the Padres, three up on the Diamondbacks, I believe. I mean, they're starting to cement themselves as, again, not a lock in that wild card spot, but they're looking much better as that main, you know, after the Cubs, that next wild card spot. But they're in it in the division all of a sudden. I mean, they're only 4.5 games back at the Braves. They've gained like 4 or 5 games this week with the way the Braves have played versus the way the Phillies have. And they have 7 games left against the Braves. Like, technically, in a way, it's the destiny's in their hands despite the deficit. How real do you think the division thing is? And again, up and down, the Braves are going down, the Phillies are going up, and I'm sure it could level out. But where are you at on the division chase that we thought was fully over?
A quick side note, destiny cannot be in your hands because it's destiny. Anyway,
control your own destiny.
You can't control destiny. You're right. That's the point of destiny.
True. Yes. But you know the phrasing, Fritzy. You know, it's like semantics, you know.
Just like the definition of insanity is not actually what people say.
Technically, yes. That's true.
Not to steal Buzz's bit, but that is a staple in the Buzz bit.
You control nature. Your own fate. How about that? You like that more? Because fate can be changed, theoretically.
You do the best you can, I think, is what I would do. So anyway, I wrote a book. Just kidding, I barely did. Anyway. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I had 100% given up on the division. And if you go back to, like, mid-April, I think April 29th or 26th, the Phillies have a better run differential and record than the Braves. So that's, like, a pretty good stretch of baseball, where that they have
been the better team for all intents and purposes.
Been the better team. And the Braves got off to that super, super hot start. And obviously that has helped them here. But yeah, I mean, they're 4.5 games out. They're 4 games back from the Cubs. I got to really grind some Cubs tape. You know, I don't have a good sense of that team because when they played the Phillies, they were
white hot. Yeah.
And then they really went to the toilet after that.
And then they've heated up a bit again. And yeah, they're a weird team, man.
I do hope that PCA wins MVP. I really hope he wins MVP. I don't need another Otani.
He's got a real MVP. I mean, look, Otani, it's not pitching, you know. So I think he's got as good of a chance as anyone has to kind of sneak in and take it from Otani this year. And PCA certainly has had a worthy season. And the last month he's been, you know, like the best player alive.
Every time I turn around, he's hitting a home run. It's crazy. Yeah. And Shohei has 5, right? 5 MVPs.
4 or 5. Yeah. Last year, I think, was his 5th. Yeah, I think so. So Bonds has 7.
Him taking out Bonds would definitely be cool.
Again, it was crazy until Bonds. That's like the 2000s, our whole lives. 3 was the max. It was 3 for Schmidt and Barron, Campanella, and all these guys. And that was it. No one had won more than 3. And then all of a sudden, it just pops off. I will give baseball credit, though, because people always complain about, like, oh, why does Tom Brady only have 4 MVPs or LeBron only has 4 MVPs or whatever? Michael Jordan, the best player should win it every year. Baseball is the only sport that actually does that. The only one that actually gives it to the best player every year.
Well, and I think WAR has really simplified MVP arguments as well. And it has also, people complain about WAR and, you know, the stats and stuff. And then you go back and look some of these horrible voting from like the 90s and 80s. And it's like, well, I would rather have it this way.
Like Mo Vaughn over Manny that year, which was an absolute like atrocity of a vote. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Or I think some year a closer won it when one.
There have been a few. I mean, our guy Bedrock, Steve Bedrosian in 87. Oh, we won Cy Young. That would be Mark Davis, I believe, won MVP in 89 or something like that. Or Cy Young for sure. That's Cy Young.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there have been a few. Like Mark Davis won a Cy Young. Bedrosian won a Cy Young. Like just nonsense Cy Young
awards. Do you remember the Cy Young that broke people?
About the Felix with the wins? You talk about that whole thing?
Felix versus Bartolo Colon.
Oh yeah, buddy. How could you forget?
It was a real turning point. It was a real turning point in baseball discourse. And then I think DeGrom officially broke it when he won Cy Young with less than 10 wins.
Was it 8 wins or something? I think it was, yeah.
I know we're getting sidetracked here. Spike doesn't want DeGrom to make the Hall of Fame, and it makes me infuriated. Mm-hmm. DeGrom is a Hall of Famer. I don't care about his wins. He is for a period there, 3 years, he was the best pitcher I've ever seen.
In the discussion, you're too young for Pedro in 99. It's a shame.
Well, I've watched enough tape on Pedro in 99, right. So I do fully appreciate Pedro.
That's the best pitcher I ever saw in my life, Pedro.
Really? Really? So.
Pedro, for just 1 year, if we're talking like just a moment a year, I think Pedro 99, 2000, whatever you want to say, like right there, like Pedro, that was the best I ever saw. Like that when he came in against the Indians at the time, the Indians and other Guardians now, but they were Tucker give shaking his head at me. I'm sorry. After that's what they were. When he came in through 6 2/3, perfect relief in that game. That was watching that game the most I've ever felt like a team had no chance against a pitcher in my life. That's including perfect games I've watched, whatever. Like Pedro was so dominant in that playoff game. Like I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the start to the 99 All-Star game is still one of the coolest things of all time.
Unbelievable. Yeah, agree.
And we are just so sidetracked. But like Ted Williams coming out and doing the whole tour around.
How cool is that? Yeah.
And did you watch the Ted Williams thing?
I'm going to watch it. Like I've got it bookmarked for the moment I get a nice opportunity to sit down with it. It looks super cool.
Yeah, I haven't had the time either. But the 2.5-minute clip he put out
was awesome. I watched that. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really cool. And it's just so funny how he is basically talking about launch angle. Like, he's talking about launch angle in the 40s.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that kind of makes sense. Yeah. All here, you want to meet it here rather than here. G. Willikers, what a crazy concept.
Golly, G.
Yes. So, but yeah, no. Pedro, the peak Verlander, Kershaw. Obviously, Halliday in 10, random Cliff Lee runs that we would have, but obviously not the most prolonged.
Clemens had some moments back when I was a kid. You were, you know,
so, yeah. Well, I was a Clemens over Pedro guy. And then eventually it ended up being a both guy. It is fun. Is Randy Johnson behind those guys? Or is it just those three? Like, are those three, everyone just like, yeah, they were the best.
So in the Maddox, I think you have to put Maddox in that group too. I know it's different, but like, I know, but dude, he was amazing. He was so great. He won like 4 straight Cy Youngs. He was, not to mention the best fielding pitcher of a generation on top of all that. Maddox was pretty great, man. I would include Maddox. I think those are the four of that time that I would say were the four rows above.
It is Mount Rushmore week on the afternoon.
It sure is, buddy.
What is your...
Did people get mad that I put LeBron on my overall Mount Rushmore for the 50 years? I thought that was a hilarious thing to do.
You're a bad guy.
He chose us. LeBron deserves to be on it. It's LeBron James. He's the most famous athlete to ever play in this city. Put him on the Mount Rushmore. What are we going to have a Mount Rushmore without LeBron on it when he's ours? I thought it was a great take by me.
What is
at least you guys might appreciate the takesmanship. I guess.
I didn't know that you did that. I don't handle the results. Who is on the 90s Mount Rushmore of pitching?
90s Mount Rushmore of pitching. We kind of did some of it just now. I mean, Clemens, Pedro, Brandon Johnson. Yeah. Yeah. And the Maddox. I think that's a Mount Rushmore. Because Nolan Ryan was still pitching into the 90s, but like 1990 was like really the last great year Ryan had.
And like Glavine and Smoltz aren't on the level of Maddox.
They're just not Maddox. Yeah, exactly. They're not exactly. Maddox.
It's probably those four.
I think it is. Yeah.
It's probably those four.
Yeah.
Dynamic.
Yeah. It's good. Look at that. That's a fun stuff. Shout out to Mount Rushmore. It is fun. I love the Mount Rushmores. I really do.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. So the Phils are back.
Yes.
And the series is frisky. They got 10 hits in each game, which was very encouraging. They didn't reach the six run thresh mark that they had been on. They'd been on a good run there.
Thresher mark, you should say.
Ooh, listen, we'll get some Threshers talk later. And I thought that last night being able to put together 8 hits against Alcantara, they did score only 3 runs. And you know, whatever.
Against Alcantara, they got 4 total, you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But against Alcantara, they got 3. They had 8 hits. Like, that's seeing them put up offensive numbers against kind of scrub pitchers or a bullpen game for the Marlins or whoever the Twins threw out over the weekend, it's okay, but it doesn't make you feel that much different about the postseason or having them being fully bought into this thing. Like, if they went out yesterday and Alcantara throws 6-7 shutout or 1 run and they have 3 hits and and 1's a home run, I don't think that there would be this. I think there would be a talk today of, yeah, they did it against scrub pitchers, but against one of the best, they went back to their old approach. I thought they did a pretty good job of staying within the approach and being okay collecting base hits and passing the baton and still working their walks when they could. And I just, the more traffic you can have on the base paths, the better it's going to end up for you. You know, that's how you put up crooked numbers. It's how you get to the point where you're not relying on home runs to score runs and you can just pop a base hit. Like, October is going to come down to, it's not about the team getting hot. It's not about, well, it is in a sense about the team getting hot. It's not about the lineup all clicking at the same time. I hear people say that all the time. It's a myth. A lineup is never clicking at the same time. It's not possible. If like you can have got, but it's going to come down to guys
big
having
hits.
Moments
yep,
and
exactly.
at key times. And just the more traffic you can get on the base paths, the better, the more opportunities you're going to have to score runs. And it's why the last couple of years they faltered in October, is because it just felt like they were just waiting for Schwarber to hit a home run or Harper to have a moment. And that's just, it's not going to happen. Like, you have to be able to do other things besides hit home runs to win a World Series. Home runs are important. I want that to be clear. Very pro home run, but it cannot be the entire offense. And
yeah,
I hope that this is something that they are going to stay committed to. And at least against a really good starter last night, Alcantara's been great since July 1, a 1.8 ERA in that time frame. I thought they did a good job, even though they didn't score like 10 off of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the key, because pitching is going to be better in the playoffs. Like, the Dodgers have better pitching than the Twins. You know, the bullpens are going to be better. And not just that, the pitchers are going to be more locked in. Every single pitch is going to be their best stuff, is going to be an intentional pitch. So the key is going to be that, I think to your point, Jack, it's important now that they continue to have success with this and continue to get this positive reinforcement. So when it gets tougher and when it's, you know, two or three or four runs a game as opposed to five or six or seven or whatever, that they're still saying this still works, even though it's not working to the same level in the regular season. Like, this works. We have to continue to do this and not get in those spots where they're swinging away and swinging on their heels. And all of a sudden everyone wants that moment. Like they've talked about, I mean, they've told us in as many words, hey, we, you know, sometimes we just want to go up and we want to be the one to hit the home run in that place and see everyone go crazy. Like, They have to get all that out of their head and fully commit to this and not let the situation, the pressure, the better pitching make them revert back to what they've been the majority of their time together.
And when you say all that, the first thing that comes to my mind is that the single most important person that has to stay within himself is Bryce. And if he is going to be content taking his walks, if he's going to be content passing the baton and not expanding the strike zone, searching for a moment, I think that is something that can be infectious to an entire team, you know, and they talked when the trade happened for a rise about how selfless Bryce was going back to right field. And if he can move, we can move. Well, if he can walk, they can walk. And if he is fine taking his walks and letting others eat, letting Luis Arraez eat, letting Alec Bohm,
yeah,
Stodder, and trusting his teammates, I think that is how you... That is how you ultimately win. That's how winning's done. You know, now the next step would be getting him in the leadoff spot, because if he's going to walk this much, I certainly would. Like, it feels like the first two make outs and Schwarber and Turner, and then it's like the rally starts with a Harper
two-out rally. It's unbelievable, right? You're really right. That has been the formula, at least the last couple series. That has been the formula, and it is wild. I mean, it is hard to separate that because we've been dealing with it all year, but like the... It almost feels like Bryce, every time he walks, like wants to look up at Dombrowski and just be like,
told you,
freaking told you, man. The moment you get a guy behind me, look what can happen. Like, it has been so just exactly what they've, you know, we've all hoped to see. The moment they get a guy behind him, it's what a shock, man. What a crazy thing this is. Isn't that amazing?
I know. I would like him to bat leadoff. I understand.
Yeah, honestly, it's not going to happen, but it would make a lot of sense with the way he's hitting right now.
Well, and especially because, I mean, we might need to start monitoring the Schwarber being a Harper merchant, because him batting leadoff and Harper batting third, Schwarber's OPS is 766 with seven home runs and a 414 slugging percentage.
The home runs are to the point. The home run, they need home runs. He's the guy for the home runs, you know.
When he's batting second, he's got a 942 OPS with a 576 slugging percentage.
Wow. So that is a massive and look, yeah, I know, not like a, you know, be all end all numbers wise, but that is pretty dramatic there. So yeah, look, they need to find the way that they can maximize these guys the most, you know, and obviously having someone behind Harper has been a clear thing that has made a major difference. And to your point, you're right. I think as soon as Harper abandons it, it almost gives everyone else the okay to abandon it too. You know?
He can't abandon ship. You gotta stay with it.
Did you know that 1 in 3 people suffer from nausea? Oh, sorry. Did you know that 1 in 3 people regularly suffer from nausea? My wife, Emily, is one of those people, and it has been such a problem in our lives. Basically, any trip is an exercise in pain tolerance for my wife. Driving any extended period of time, her head will be between her legs. She is silent as my daughter and I'll talk and listen to music. Emily is mute in the front seat in pain. And it is so frustrating. I mean, the idea of taking a boat trip or a train, non-existent, not even on the table, because it's just not an option for our family. Emily is in such pain in these situations. So why even try to do something like a boat? The pain is so unbearable that she can't even converse with Emily or with Zoe and I as we're driving. It's really interrupted our life and made it a lot less fun to do things together. That's until Relief Band came into our lives, and it's absolutely been for us an absolute miracle. It has changed our lives. Emily in the car, I'm not kidding at all. She puts the Relief Band on and it's like, bang, a second later, I am totally fine. We're listening to music. We're talking. We're having a great time. Every time we're in the car, we're talking about taking a freaking cruise together. It is completely and totally changed our lives. Relief Band is 100% natural, no pills, no side effects, and it works in minutes. Relief Band stops nausea from things like motion sickness, morning sickness, even from things like meds like GLP-1s. And it even works for nausea from hangovers. Put Relief Band on your wrist and turn nausea off. Go to reliefband.com and use promo code James. That's J-A-M-E-S for 20% off. Promo code James, reliefband.com, promo code James. So. All right, let's get to what I think was the player of the night yesterday and is really, you know, in the midst of, we'll get to, you know, some struggles for Wheeler over the recent times. And, you know, Sanchi has been good, but not lights out. Lozardo obviously has been great, but 7 innings, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, no walks, 5 hits. I mean, Aaron Nola in his last 5 starts, I believe, 33 strikeouts, 2.60 ERA, 33 strikeouts in 27 innings. I mean, I am getting to the point where I'm not going to say I fully trust Aaron Nola, but I go into these starts now expecting like 5 or 6 innings, 3 runs or less, and the potential for better. But I expect a home run to be popped at some point. It was last night, but I really, I can say for the last few starts, it's the first time all year I don't go in expecting dread with Aaron Nola. I'm really getting to that point where I don't expect him to be a disaster anymore. And that's a major step forward.
One game for the rest of your life. Who are you giving the ball to now? Nola or Wheeler? One game, gun to your head. You gotta
today.
Say.
The game is today, right? And they both rested. Yeah. It's Wheeler, but I get it.
I'm going Knowles.
When the chips are down, I'm just gonna trust that Zach will elevate. But look, it's a question.
Listen, he's making a case to be the game 2 starter behind Lozardo.
Just like we predicted. Sanchi game 3, Wheeler game 4. Maybe Wheeler gets an extra start. We'll see.
Yeah, not a bad way to close out a rotation. So, yeah, Nola's been like really impressed.
Really good, man.
Really impressed.
And the most,
you want to know what the most impressive thing to me was? Is that right about the 5th inning yesterday, he started missing some spots. He did. He started missing the spots just a little bit, and you know it didn't happen? They didn't blast him into the 3rd row. That's how you know his stuff is starting to have a little bit of an uptick. Like, there was a...
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
He hung a curveball and missed a spot by about a foot, and the guy hit it, and his initial reaction was like, oh, God. And then it was like, hey, it just sort of died out there. We're fine. So, yeah, I think the most impressive thing for him, like, people will say, you know, he's kept the ball down. I actually don't think that's the case. I think that he is just commanding his stuff better even when he goes up in the zone, and he's actually able to – like, especially against lefties, he can actually go glove side with that little two-seamer in, which I feel like he hasn't had that pitch in forever. So he's actually able to command that pitch. And then if he's able to get that, then everything works just better off of it. I also really appreciated the way that Stubbsy was setting up for Nola yesterday. It was very little league and high school.
I totally agree with you, dude. I totally agree with you.
He was putting the glove on the ground,
yeah,
to really emphasize stay on top of the baseball.
Yeah.
And I think that little mental trick is something that I do believe works for pitchers. Like, when I, again, not comparing myself to a major leaguer in any way.
You would never.
Would never. But like, when I used to throw my cutter before I lost it in college and everyone still talks about it. Like,
oh, yeah. It's a big, if you go up there, people just still talk about it. Remember when Fritz had the cutter?
I don't know what happened. It's the biggest, one of the biggest mysteries in Bloomsburg history is where mm-hmm. my cutter go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lost in the Keystone Light. That's what I'm really like. I'm a Miller Lite guy. If I was drinking Miller Lite, I wouldn't have lost my cutter.
You're
anyway.
Damn right, buddy.
So I used to just think start at a guy's shoulder. And if I started at the guy's shoulder, even if I miss my spot, at least it's going to be in a good area. So if you can trick your brain into just thinking about areas rather than like hitting the glove, I think that's something that Painter's talked about as well. But he just has really, really good command right now against lefties. He's going a lot of changeup and curveballs and then going fastballs when needed, but it's a lot of off speed first. But overall, I don't think he's doing anything like
pitching backwards, as they say.
I don't think he's doing anything like revolutionary. I think he's just has found better command of all of his pitches, and it's working for him. Mm-hmm. And you know, velocity has ticked up a little bit. His stuff doesn't look like it's dying when it's getting to the plate. It looks like it's getting through the zone rather than to the zone. And yeah, I mean, for as much as you can trust the 2026 version of Aaron Nola, that's about where I'm at. I trust him enough.
I am going into these starts like not expecting to lose the game because Aaron Nola. That is a major step forward. Let's get to the Wheeler thing because we were joking and all that. But Richie asked me about it on the air today. He's like, are you at all concerned about the Wheeler thing? And it's my gut instinct is absolutely not. Like, we've seen Wheeler go through these dead arm periods and all that. And I still lean that way. But when you do take into account, he didn't have his normal lead into the season. He didn't have the off season he normally has, didn't have the spring training he normally has because of obviously the thoracic thing and all that. Are you at all concerned to see him like starting to sputter a bit, or does this just feel like a classic? You know, we've gone through these, we've gotten him blows before and he's been okay in the playoffs and whatnot. Where do you come down on concern level with the Wheeler, you know, lull?
A smidge. The good part was, at least for four innings the other night, he looked like Zach Wheeler. And, you know, I mean, 2 months ago, it looked like Aaron Nola's stuff was dying. And then all of a sudden, there's been a little bit of an uptick recently. So, you know, I think there's a decent chance of that. But as it stands right here, right now, like if I was just doing today, yes, I would be concerned because it feels like when he gets to that 80 pitch mark, the stuff just falls off cliff. I mean, it happened in the Cardinals game where he was really, really good. And they were like, okay, Wheeler's back. And then that fifth inning hit and it just blew up on him. You know, this start against the Marlins, it was like, okay, 97, good, back. But he still walked four guys. And that fifth inning, he allowed the run. Had Xavier Edwards got thrown out at second base, who knows how long that inning goes on for. Like, he got totally bailed out by that. So, it could be dead arm. I think dead arm is the better scenario here because fatigue, there's nothing you can really do about it unless you can skip a turn in the rotation. You can phantom IL him. You can go to a six-man rotation. I don't know, but I think that's part of the reason why they signed Nestor Cortez yesterday.
Yeah, that's what's going to be my next thing.
I think it's about Wheeler and Sanchez. Wheeler more than Sanchez, but you know Sanchez. The other night it was eight hits and traffic in every base pass in every inning and walks and the overall numbers at the end of the day looked fine, but in watching it, you certainly didn't feel fine, and nope. You just keep waiting for. You know, let's say a guy puts one in play with the bases loaded or runners on first and second, and just instead of it falling to the second baseman, it just, you know, goes over his head, you know,
Luis Arias hit, which seems to, has anyone ever hit the ball just past a fielder's glove more often than Luis Arias? It's wild.
It's amazing. He's got the slowest bat in baseball and has to be the lowest exit velo.
It's unbelievable.
Even that homer ish.
I know, dude. I feel the same way.
I was like, well, you kind of thought you got that one. I'm waiting for it to just be caught by the right fielder, but he was confident. He knew that was gone, so it's good to see.
It barely got out, even so, and you could tell he whipped his bat through the zone about as hard as he possibly could on that one. That was like he whipped it, man, and it just hung up there. It just kind of just got out.
Yeah, that's our guy, though. That's our guy. So yeah, I mean, if the season ended today and I needed him to start a playoff game tomorrow, I would be concerned, but I'll just give him the benefit of the doubt up until the end of the season. And I mean, we saw what his adrenaline was like when he first came back from the injury, and he was back being Zach Wheeler. So I'm sure when the adrenaline starts pumping again, he'll be fine. But definitely as of right now, he is concerning.
All right. The Nestor thing, cause you brought it up. Look, you and I both love Nestor on the Yankees. We were big Nestor guys, super fun guy to watch too. You know, does the
remind me of
hanging in the, yeah, it does the hanging, keep that leg in the air thing. And all, he's got a lot of fun stuff. Also was obviously available on the street and has not pitched much recently. What do you make of the Nestor thing? And not just that, I think you kind of mentioned that you make of it that it potentially to give Wheeler or Sanchez some extra time or a six start or whatever they're going to do. What do you also make of the potential for Nestor to actually compete at the major league level still?
Well, so I wonder if last year a lot of his struggles were he was pitching through an injury. I mean, that could be a factor because he had shoulder surgery in October and he's just recovering now. I think that's the main, I think he would have gotten signed. I mean, dude, What's his face? The guy who was on the pod, Chris Paddock.
Chris, he
still gets signed. Still every going. Year.
It's unbelievable.
So I think Nestor would have gotten signed. And hey, I mean, the Brewers are a very smart pitching organization, and last year they got him back in the Devin Williams trade as a part of that. So
I like that, Jack. I like what you're doing here.
I can talk myself into that.
I like that a lot. The Brewers wanted him. I'm in. Great call.
Brewers wanted him. Maybe he had a shoulder problem, and that's why he did not live up to the potential with him. Now, in 2024, he also allowed one of the biggest home runs in postseason history as Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off home run in a World Series against him. But he also should not be pitching in relief. Whatever. In a big spot. Whatever. So, he's available now only because of the shoulder injury. We'll see. I think it is all about... I think he's going to start in Clearwater and then he's going to work his way up. I mean, they signed to a major league deal. So
yeah,
that shows how serious they are. I think they want him to be up here. Obviously they went to the bullpens. Seems like they went pretty well, and worst case scenario is, hey, maybe he can be a long man, given that you know, your starters are giving you five innings most nights, having someone that can, you know, give them some length out there. If things don't go well with one of the starters is also important because they don't really have that. They don't have
Ben
Lazar, but he's not out there. And Shugart, I guess, will do it. But like Shugart is a one inning guy.
They don't have it. You were right to say that, Jack. Like they don't have a guy who can give them three innings if they need it. They just don't.
Yeah. So maybe that's Nestor. But it's not earth shattering, but it's this year's version of Walker Buehler.
All right. One more thing I want to get to before the bag, and obviously you can add anything else. And we've talked a lot about Bowman Sutton on the last pod and all that, but I think one guy who we've not kind of given enough credit to and had another big hit, but is since really the last month plus has played much better baseball. Were you on Justin Crawford and trusting him heading into a stretch run and a playoffs where, you know, he, you know, we know Derek Hill can get in there and they'll be some platooning and whatnot. But Justin Crawford, the numbers have been out there like 320 or something over the last month. He's hitting better. He's been better. I feel like we've talked a lot about everyone else in the lineup and the, you know, surges and whatnot. We've not really talked much about Crawford.
Well, that's because it never looks like the most ethical base hits, you know?
I agree. I know he slides them through infield in. He's going to put it past him somehow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm almost always fine with Crawford. I've been fine with Crawford since, you know, May.
But
he went through that period where he really struggled, which was fine. Dude, he's at the bottom of the lineup. He's hitting pretty well right now. He has sparked some rallies, which is good. I think he is getting better out there in center field. It's definitely not crisp, but again, he's a rookie playing at the big league level for the first time. He had never played up here before, and at this point in the season, he's hitting over 270. I believe we said before the year we would take 270 from Justin Crawford. 270, 280. Looks like we're going to end up right around 270, 280, which is really good. And you don't need to play Hill every day. You know, Hill has his role. He has his, he plays against lefties. That's fine. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's ever going to be a star. I don't know if he's ever going to be even an all-star, but Justin Crawford is going to be a solid big league player. The question is, can he stay in center field? Because that bat, that profile on the corners is just not that valuable. It's just not.
Yeah. And no, it's not. Unless you have a center fielder who hits a ton of home runs, essentially. Sure. You're swapping them.
And he's still one of the slowest fast guys I've seen.
It's unbelievable. It is unbelievable.
He's too long. He's just too long levered. He's like he has the plate. His swing is long, so there's some recoil there. That's why he doesn't beat out ground balls. And then with stealing second base, like every millisecond counts, and he just takes a little while to get going. When he gets going, he's super, super fast. It's just the I don't know if he is quick twitch.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a really good point. And hopefully he can get better at getting jumps and all that type of stuff with practice and opportunity and all that. But I agree with you. It is surprising that he has not had as much thrilling success running as we had expected or hoped for. Speaking of running, though, how about our guy Kyle? He knew he was safe. He hit the moment yesterday. He's like pointing the dugout. He's like, I beat that. Wild. That was why in the moment I'm like, well, he's cooked. What a slide. Kyle, base running Kyle. Who'd have thunk it?
Yeah, when he slides, it looks like it hurts.
Dude, he looked like he just like threw his body forward. Just like, it's like, man, baseball 101 teaches guys how to slide. Used to be something we all knew how to do. All right, take back in a second. Shout out to Jack's Steaks. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and Jack's Steaks with two X's on Wharton Street. Love Wharton Street. Live very close. Check out Jack's Steaks for every Phillies game and enjoy $3 Miller Lite drafts and bottles along with their premier ribeye cheesesteaks and gourmet cutlet sandwiches. Miller Lights for Phil's Win. Celebrate responsibly. Let's bag it up.
All righty. Some things I do want to highlight. Trey's defense ever since July has been solid. I mean, he's starting to make some good plays out there. I'm using Stott's glove, maybe something that kind of helps him out a little bit. But at least he looks like he's back to last year Trey out there. He's never going to win a gold glove. He's never going to be J-Roll. He's never going to have the strongest arm. He's never going to have the quickest release. But he just can't be a huge issue out there. And he was
one of the biggest things I see. Most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber. And they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Turning into a huge issue in July, and he's figured it out, seemingly. So, again, they're not going to move him off shortstop until they have to. So, this stretch, finishing out the season, the way he is probably going to lead to him playing shortstop again next year because there's 7 years left on that deal. And I don't think that 4 years in, they want to move him off of that spot just yet. I think they know eventually they will, but I'm just preparing you for you're going to yell about it all off season that, hey, he should be playing left field. I agree. He's not going to until they feel like it is like the last opportunity or like the last chance to do it. That's when they're going to do it.
I fully agree. Fully agree. Yes. Yeah. Don't like it. Fully agree.
Yeah. I mean, maybe when Spangler's up here or Aiden and
it's a while away, big dog for Spangs. Like, you know.
I don't know.
Look at you.
3 years. Can we do 3 years? 3 years. I mean, even that's like you know.
No, 21 at the Rangers is super duper young, man. Yeah, that'd be really young.
That'd be awesome. Anyway, so that was my Trey thought, and just I'm so happy that Stott is doing this. I'm really, really happy that he is turning into a solid high level big leaguer. And you know, some of the stats out there about this run that he's been on has been really, really funny. It's a shame that his 10 game hitting streak came to an end yesterday.
I know, and the on base streak, it lost it all yesterday. It was a real shame. 19 or 20 games in a row on base. But tragic.
It's just so funny, you know, watching him play third. And I think we've gotten to a point with Bohm where we're like, yeah, he's beyond serviceable over there to, hey, pretty good, you know. And then you watch Stott play third. It's like, oh.
No, wait. So Bohm, I think what we were mistaken with Bohm was that he made routine plays look much harder than they were. And thus it was like, wow, look at him make that play. It was like, Stott makes that play with his eyes closed and goes like 2 feet to the side that Bohm can't get to, you know.
Well, and it was a play yesterday where he charged a little bit and just, I don't even know if the ball touched Stott's glove. It was out so quickly. It was just like perfect. Oh, it's what a joy. What a joy. And again, Stott's turnaround, real.
Well, also
Bohm's
it kind of
turnaround, not.
Yeah, I think that's key. It also comes into, we've had so many things with like the jerking around, the Scott Kingery thing or this, that, like asking him to play too many positions. Bryson Stott's offensive streak has coordinated with him being moved to third base and playing a brand new position they only played 12 spot times ever. So I think it's a lot more of the person than the situation in these cases.
Ah, the old Kingery. The old Kingery debates. What a time. And I continue to be impressed with Alex McFarland. Continue to can't believe that he was in Reading until mid-July. I know he allowed a run, and I know he walked the first batter, but the stuff is the stuff. And I think he's going to help this team down the stretch run. I really do. I don't know if he's going to be taking down the eighth inning in a one-run game in a postseason series, but you know, it's kind of going to end up turning into him or Kirkery. And who can kind of step up this next month and a half. And I tell you what, I would love if he did. Would certainly love if he did.
I certainly would trust someone I've never seen in the playoffs over Gergering. So, you know, as sad
Come
as
on,
that
Kirk.
Is.
Come on, Kirk. I mean, he had a pretty good outing the other day. Sure. No, He let it run. Anyway.
Well, Jonathan Bowling getting back in the eighth and getting it done. A little scary, but got the outs he needed. He's scaring me a little bit. At the end of the day, and again, they can win the World Series, but my guess, this will be one of those years where at the end of the day, if they don't, I don't think the offense will be as big a reason as the bullpen, if I had to bet.
I agree. I think the bullpen is the biggest thing that I feel very confident will falter in the postseason.
Yes, exactly.
And I am worried about the top two in the rotation being one of the other issues.
Which is, and that would be a death knell. I mean,
dude,
they can't win without those guys.
If they rake in October this year,
and those guys sit, can you imagine?
I don't
want to do that. I'd rather the hitting just stink. Honestly, I don't think I can flip it around and do that. That's just too soul crushing.
God, I love bitching about the offense. If you feel so good, you know, complaining about the offense. If the starting pitching lets us down, the conversations off season.
Our whole identity would be, I know.
The conversations this offseason is of why didn't Mattingly start Nola over Wheeler?
Oh my God, come on.
Feed me it. Don't
let that happen.
Why didn't Zeus start game one? Did they watch him? I can't just see it now.
Yeah, as of today. I mean, maybe start Zeus game one.
You can see it now, can't you? You can see it now. Okay, so not a full minor league minute, but two quick things. One, Will Gasparino is the baby boy. He is having an unbelievable start for the Thrashers. He hit a home run 2 days ago. He was 2-for-4 yesterday. He's a treat. He's a tool.
Exciting. Shot. Yeah, home runs. Shot. Not a home run guy though, right? That was a little surprising. Or you think he's got the pop?
Oh, no, he's got. No, he hits the ball really hard. He hits the ball.
Yeah,
really
it's hard. Yes.
Yes. Like, wow, he hit 20 home runs last year.
Oh, did he? Okay. All right. Good. You're like, good.
Our goat Bogenpohl hit 6, you know. So
all right, look at this.
Bogenpohl is off projection.
Gasparino's real deal.
Could be.
I love it.
But the real reason why we got to call
hitter factory. Okay, go ahead.
We got to call the emergency minor league minute is not Reese Maroney hitting 107 mile an hour ground ball right at someone because he hit the ball really hard.
If we did an emergency minor league minute because of a 107 mile per hour ground ball, that would actually be pretty sad. That would be like we've missed the point here.
About our Rhode Island ninth round shortstop that could project it being Edmundo Sosa. Yes.
No, Lee Cerrone, a great baseball name, though.
Great baseball name. No, the reason why we have to call this emergency minor league minute is that old Spangsy DHing yesterday for the Threshers had three at bats. Oh, let me tell you something, James. Let me tell you something. That guy can work in a bat. That guy can work in a bat. Oh, the tape.
Is this like grainy footage that you'd find on like the dark web of these at bats?
It's just MILB.com.
Okay, good.
But like, there's nothing I love more in today's game than a good professional take. And that guy takes some professional takes. Also, he's just got this sweet lefty swing where he has this little twirl at the top when he tries to hit it. I mean, it looks like he's trying to be Gunner, which you take, obviously. Now he did smoke three balls, just they're all on the ground. So we're going to have to lift the baseball, but you just
the Alec Boehm issue. Yes.
Yeah. But again, he's 18, not 30.
Of course. He's also not 6'5".
Yes. You just see it. You just see it. It's as simple as that. You just see it. And I he better be in the lineup today. They had a doubleheader yesterday. I wanted him playing both ends of it, but there's just, there's too much talent down there in Clearwater right now.
Yeah, what a thought.
I mean, you got to get Braden Bakes in there. He didn't play game one. He's got to play game two. It's just the Threshers are a delight. I love them so much.
I'm so happy you're happy.
Really. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I know. So, but Spangsy, you're going to continue to see more. You're going to continue to hear more. He's awesome. You can just tell early. So it's the farm system's coming along, and I want everyone to remember all the takes that we've heard for the last, trade deadline offseason. Ooh, trash. Ooh, Brian Barber. Ooh, Preston. Yeah, you keep talking. We'll keep building.
I love this. This is great. I like that look. We'll keep building. I'm looking right at you right now. All of you out there, the royal view, right at you.
You keep talking. We'll keep building.
Talk at your own peril. Okay. Talk at your own peril. That's all I'll say. I will say, forgetting all the others, just the fact that Spangler's playing already with the whole the back thing and all, like the people freaking out, like that's a big deal.
Huge. And yeah. It makes you feel like
he did that there was a little overplaying of the back for the drop.
Yeah, and it was like Boris is his agent. I'm sure that he was like, this is one of my top clients.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we're gonna sit you out, and we're gonna protect you, and make sure that we're good to go.
Love that. Give it to me, Scott. Scott,
for what really matters. Yeah,
love you, buddy. I've always loved you, big Scott.
Always been a Boris guy.
Always have been
making up for JD Drew with the
yeah, he's got a lot of making up to do for that one.
The Tyler Spangler's draft.
Yeah. All right, we got anything else?
No.
Cardinals this weekend? Or no, is it Mariners? Cardinals? It's Cardinals, Mariners, Cardinals. Right? Yes, that's what I thought. Cardinals at home, then out to the West Coast, Mariners, Angels, Diamondbacks. West Coast trip, Fritzy.
Oh, man. It's going to be some late nights.
Always great times on the West Coast for the Phils, right? So, yeah. We'll look forward to that. That's why this series this weekend is pretty important. They got to take 2-3 against the Cardinals. Like they,
always.
Yeah. Three got West. Always. Exactly. All right. We'll be back to react to it after the weekend. For Fritz, for Tucker, shout out to Tucker Bagley. Always doing a great job producing the show. You're the best, buddy. We love you. Couldn't do without
nice
you.
Noise,
all right. Look at that, right? Yeah. All right. We'll be back then. Until then, peace, Fritz and Seltzer.
One of the biggest things I see, most women are not getting enough fiber, especially the right kinds of fiber, and they don't even realize it. That's why I like using Chronometer. It makes it incredibly easy to actually see what you're eating and understand your nutrition on a deeper level. I especially appreciate that it tracks both soluble and insoluble fiber because they each play different roles in overall wellness, digestion, and metabolic health. What sets Chronometer apart for me is the accuracy and detail. A lot of tracking apps only focus on calories, but Chronometer gives you meaningful micronutrient data I can actually use. The platform is easy to use, reliable, and helps you make more informed nutrition choices without guesswork. If you want better insight into your nutrition during midlife and beyond, download Chronometer for free today at chronometer.com and start learning what your body may really need.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.